Welcome to another episode of the Impel Forward podcast.
What up?
How y'all doing today?
Hello.
What's going on? Got my man right here with us. Jay, is it Jay, Jeremy, Jeremy Day, Jay Day, what we call it?
Hey, just depends on the day. You know, since we off work, I take Jay. How y'all doing?
Good, good. So let me go ahead and introduce Mr. Day here. He is a father. He is a brother, an uncle, a philanthropist, and self-proclaimed, I would say, Facebook doctor.
Yes, some days. Yes.
What a self-proclaimed Facebook doctor come in? What is that about?
Well, years of training, obviously. But no, I just enjoy great conversation. And I think I put myself in a position to ask and talk about topics that interest people, but you wouldn't always want to put on your page. And so I try to doctor everybody in. And I also welcome comments, questions from people. Everything is anonymous. And at first, it kind of started off as a lot of fun. But you'd be surprised that who will send you pretty deep and serious questions at times pertaining to their life. And, you know, a lot of times people just want to hear advice from people they don't know.
And you say I wouldn't want to put it on my page?
Depending on the topic, you know, a lot of us are business professional. You know, we're parents, we're in the community. So they don't necessarily have to be, you know, topics that are against the standard. But if it's risque or it deals in, you know, ghetto bullshit, excuse the term. I think my home is the place for it for some people. But also in talking to people, they'll look at my topic or question and then they'll share it in their group chats and conversations at work. And so just a way to get people talking.
And you say you got involved in that because you like to talk?
Yeah, I like to talk. On occasion, I do events. Okay. Whether it's travel, some local events. And so to spice it up, you know, no one wants you to constantly sell you something. Right. And so just to add a little spice to it, you know, give you a reason to come by the page. And I love the conversation.
Okay.
You do kind of got to pick and choose if you're going to like it or not, depending on your audience, right? Your Facebook friends list, right? Some people have, you know, some of their coworkers on there or past coworkers or different things of, you know, of that nature. So sometimes you do have to be, you know, you may agree, you may even want to respond, but, you know, like he said, his topics, his conversation for his page, and it may not be everywhere, but you can take it and possibly have that personal conversation with your friends or your family or in a different setting. So I know personally that I've sent him some things, not necessarily from me personal, but like some from some of my girls' group chat or IG page, you know. So Instagram, they'll have, you know, certain topics, whether it's social justice or just, you know, dealing with children, schooling and behavioral and all of those things. And I will kind of filter it through him and I'll say, why don't you ask us on your page and get their opinion? So I know I personally have, you know, filtered some comments to him just to read them and get it going. But I do have to ask, what's one of the craziest things that or topics that have been sent to you that really kind of like?
Wait a minute, before you answer that, I said this on our last episode. She's always taking my questions.
You did say that.
Next episode, you have to go first. You're second in line next episode on asking questions.
It don't matter if I go first or last. If I'm thinking of something, I'm like,
that's because we're Aquarius, so, you know, we always stay
by. I get a lot of questions. I think one that sticks out for me, it was a young lady, you know, from social media appears to be successful. She was a single mother and had high school age daughters. And basically, she alluded to the fact that she met a guy and within a very short amount of time, and if I'm recollected correctly, less than a month, moved this man into her home. And basically, within a few months, I guess things did not work out how she planned. And, you know, there were infidelity issues, just his overall presence in the home. I don't think he was necessarily getting along with her children. And her question was around what should she do, because he basically told her that he's paying bills in the home. He's now a resident. He's not leaving until the lease is up. And I guess according to law, he was somewhat correct without her going through this long legal process. And I think she was curious just to see what people thought. But in my opinion, you know exactly what the hell people are going to say.
Right.
And they told her ass up accordingly, you know. But at the end of the day, sometimes you got to hear from other people. But it was a learning lesson for her nonetheless. But a learning lesson as a 40-something-year-old is a little different. So, you know, we get those type of topics.
But why? I'm sitting here thinking, what made her think that? Well, I don't even know why she even thought to move somebody in her house after a month.
Listen, we've heard some, you know, we've heard some recent ordeals dealing with people, Risa Tisa, you know. So, I mean, anything can happen, right?
And, you know, people are hungry for love and hungry for, you know, that perfect Instagram relationship, you know, with likes and sparks and hearts and all of that good stuff. And so I think people, you know, move a little fast. You know, we're in a different type of world when it comes to dating, when it comes to, you know, just interactions. You know, I joke, but I'm serious. Sometimes you'll meet a female and go on a date, and a week later, you know, y'all go together. And it just don't work like that for me, but clearly, it works like that for us, you know.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, has someone ever gotten mad at you? Like, you posed their question, right? But they didn't receive the feedback that they were hoping for, or the responses they were hoping for, and they kind of got upset with you?
Oh, no, 100%. I've been blocked, unfriended, all of those things for conversations that went left. but the sacredness of who you are is one thing that I don't do. And so I'm going to give you an honest opinion on the site, but also too, I think other people, I've even had people give me a question and then go to the post to comment, almost like they're defending themselves from the comments, but they're supposed to be anonymous. And so, yes, I definitely have, I'm on the block list for a few people in the area.
How long you been doing this?
For a while now, I would say going on 10 years, I've actually done some live segments. We call them Spill the Tea. And we would bring different panelists and I would create various questions. Even when you came in, we had a couple of questions that the audience, as they checked in, had a chance to answer, and we would tally the scores and we would have a conversation about that. So we've done it live, you know, something I do on Facebook, but, you know, it's really just to keep conversation going. But I get surprised that, you know, how many people tune in, or you run into people who say, oh, man, I see what you post. And it got, you know, me and my coworkers talking and this and that. You know, today the conversation was around co-parents. Mm-hmm. And the dad is giving the mom $1,200 for a 16-year-old at this point, as far as child support. And he proposed that half of that money should start going to the child directly, because at 16, she's coming up with needs. She, you know, wants and needs her own money for various activities, things of that nature. And he thought that it may be appropriate just to take some of that child support that's supposed to be used for the child and give it directly to her. And the mother was completely opposed to that. So that was kind of today's topic. And there were varying degrees of answers, but I was actually surprised that a lot of women said that they would and she should give the daughter half of the money.
I think it makes sense.
I don't.
What I'm about to say is this right here. This is how I think about it. When you give it to them, teach them what to do with it. That's where I'm coming from. But I know what you're probably thinking, that they'll just throw it away spending on anything.
Well, not just that, but also at 16, I don't want the burden of day-to-day responsibilities to fall on my 16-year-old daughter. Meaning, as her father, I don't expect her to pay for her hair to get done. I don't expect her to go buy her school clothes or school supplies. You know, I don't necessarily expect her to pay for her car insurance and things. Meaning, if she's doing the things that she needs to do in school, then the whole burden of life's bills and things, I'm not sure I'm ready for my daughter to take on that responsibility at age 16. But if I'm giving whoever $600 a month, they need to be paying something. And so for me, I would probably lessen the amount of money and maybe focus more on saving or investing. I would be open to things of that nature. But just simply throwing some money in a 16-year-old's hands and expecting them to do, you know, do the most of it, she's going to have mink eyelashes for every day of the week, you know, if depending on the child.
Give the money and teach them and show them what to do.
I was thinking about like more of like just giving them the money, right? But I still handle, as a mother, I still handle all of the day-to-day, but that's just her money, you know. Right. But if she wants to have like play soccer or basketball or whatever, then I would use, you know, that. Then I would say, hey, you know, I normally give you that $600. But because you opted to play sports, we gonna use that for this, or you know what I mean. Or if you want the latest sneakers, you gonna have to save up for it. Because if you already dipped into the money, and the shoes,
that's a good point too.
You gotta
right. That's a great point. Right. Yeah, and I think, like you said, with some type of guidance and stipulations, but also too, let's be honest. If you got a kid that's knocking it out of the park, they're doing everything that they're supposed to do. You know, if successful and you can afford it, you do want your kids to have nice things and be able to go out and do. And things aren't cheap. You know, the latest and greatest sneakers are a couple hundred bucks now. So I get where you're coming from. Maybe I'm, you know, overvaluing the $600.
I see both ways. You know what I mean? I definitely see both ways. But you got to think of it as a mother, right? Maybe she, you know, a lot of times it's hard for women, even myself with no kids, to admit that some of that money went towards actual bills. Like I depended on this amount, and unfortunately, you know, maybe out of the 12, she depended on 1,000 to put towards, you know, car payment or something. So if you lessen that amount that's going to her, that she's already, you know, included in her monthly household bills, groceries, whatever, then that's where the problem probably lies, without her wanting to admit that she, that $1,200 is really accounted for in her monthly expenses.
But that's the question. So let me ask you guys, when it comes to raising a child and child support is involved, and this question came up, is child support for the household or is child support directly for the child? Meaning, some people have an issue with mothers using child support to pay bills that she would have had on her own.
That is very true. But if you think about it, yes, my light bill would be the same. But because I have a kid, it's times two. That water bill is times two.
The 1.3. No, I got you. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, no, I completely agree. You know, I come from the school of, A, you can't count another household's money and how they find ways to get through their month, especially when it comes to somebody you're co-parenting with. You know, life is hard. You know, we all go through whatever. And so I don't think it's fair for me to dictate and judge a household that my daughter's in, especially if my daughter's healthy, happy, and well taken care of. I don't think it's fair for me to then dictate, you know, how she spends the money that was allotted to her. I think, you know, child support is a whole bigger conversation. But putting the shoe on the other foot, I wouldn't want anybody counting my pockets every month in regards to what I do and how I take care of my bills, you know.
And also it's embarrassing, you know what I mean? Because on the outside, you look like you have it all together. But really, you know, what she's saying is that money is accounted for. And right now, I don't have the resources to be able to allow her to give this, you know, give this directly to the child to use.
Okay.
That could be the reason. I mean, because with everything going on social media with people counting pockets, pocket watching, and, you know, the stigma around child support and who should have it, who shouldn't, where it should go, a lot of times you don't even want to have that conversation because it's like, well, goodness, I'm, you know, I'm part of that I'm part of the problem with deems, you know, with social media is deeming is the issue, where the money is accounted for in the monthly expenses. And I may not want to admit that.
Yeah. Or,
you know, so that's my, I mean, I guess it's similar. I read a post about, it was, what was it on IG? It was crazy. It was like, oh, I expect women with no kids to be on a flight every month. Have what it was like, flight every month, clothes, you know, the best house, the biggest house, the, you know, the condo in the sky, you know, the best car. You should be doing everything because you don't have any responsibilities. And I'm like, wait, how, what do you mean?
Who made that post?
Somebody made a post on that, and I read that, and people with kids was like, yeah, we waiting to see. And I'm like, again, you pocket watching. Just because you don't have kids don't mean you don't have expenses.
You know, but I think that really falls into kind of where we're at as far as society and social media. You know, we're constantly trying to outdo each other. I say often that, you know, women do things to appease each other. It's no longer about trying to attract a guy. You know, a lot of times when you look at social media and things that people post and these extravagant girls trips and these amazing pictures of you overlooking this mountain with that dress flowing all through the background with the water in the back. Like, y'all know what I'm talking about. And what's that? The bright yellow dress that's 10 foot long. It's a competition now against women. And I think men are now taking a back seat and kind of watching the show in some regard.
Dang, I was going to do that in Dubai. I'm glad I didn't. Like, it's very
well, I think that. I mean, look, it's. I think with that, people can do what they want to do.
Right.
It's up to people who is watching it. What's the word I'm looking for? It's like you said, they want people see that, and then they like, oh, I need to do this. I got to do this, and they feel like they're missing out.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Want to do something they know they can't afford to do.
No, it's like the girl who went on the trip with $135. And what was it? Yeah. It was a girl's trip. Yeah. And one of the girls only had $135 and couldn't afford like the meals on the trip or the first. She used it the first night, I guess they had. It was a birthday dinner. And they decided to split the bill. You know, that's a whole new controversy. And each person had to pay $180. Well, the girl only had $135. So, see, the one girl put everything on her credit card, right? And so the girl texted her privately out the group chat and said, hey, I only have $135. Showed her, you know, a picture of her bank account and was like, you know, I got you for the remaining $46. But they were leaving for Mexico the next day.
Yeah, you shouldn't even be out to eat with $135, let alone in another country.
Right.
Yeah, but here's the thing. She was going to, I think they were going to an all-inclusive hotel, right? They already have prepaid for the excursions and all of those things. And this was her first time out the country, so she thought she was bringing money for, like, tips and everything since, you know, she was told everything was covered. And she worked at a retail mall, like a little basic store. But the girl that did the whole video and talked about her was like a social media content creator. So, you know, her bag was way bigger. So it really turned out looking like a mean girl, because it's like y'all posting this picture, putting her business on blast, showing that she sent you a copy of her bank account showing she only had $135. And now, you know, they not only watch pocket watching you online, they watching your pockets on the girls' trips. We can't win for losing.
Who fault is that? She should have stayed home when they went out to eat then. She should have got some rest and caught up with them later.
You know what?
Hey, speaking of trips, tell us about it. Just Takeover Travel.
Okay, yeah. So I have started and own a travel group, but it's really based around this concept. When I used to travel, first started traveling, I would either be by myself or booed up. But I noticed as I traveled, you would see all of these females on these extravagant girl trips. And you know, what goes on in these girls' trips, I guess, stays in the girls' trips. But I feel like they have men fooled, and they were having these grandioso times that I feel like my fellas were missing out on. And so I wanted to start something where we could have the same type of fun, but also just bring people together. You see some of the travel groups of people going on group trips, but I thought it'd be dope to do it with some of my friends. And so, you know, since that time frame, we've gone on about 5 trips. We initially started off with 28 people on a cruise, was our initial trip. And then last year, we took 140 people to Jamaica for the Slum Fest, the reggae festival. And the year before that, we took 180 people to Cancun. So the trip has just been building. But I think it's for a lot of people who want to experience, want to try things. You know, a lot of people that are on a trip, that's their first time leaving the country, first time experiencing an all-inclusive. But it's been a fabulous time. I really enjoyed it. Our motto is your trip, your rules. Ain't nobody babysitting. But more importantly, even though we're a group of individuals, you need to do what you want to do. You know, if you want to relax and, you know, that's what you are. But we also have things planned along the trip. So if you want to do some of the group activities, we do have those planned. But we really stress the importance of kind of just doing you. You paid your money. There are people here with like minds if you want to hang out. And it's really been a great thing. You know, we're going to St. Lucia this year for Carnival. So that'll be a new experience for me. Check that off the bucket list. We've even joined a band, so we have some people participating in the parade. So just trying to see where this thing goes, man. But it was really just based upon the love of travel, nothing more, nothing less.
So how long you've been doing it?
We started like the year before COVID, I want to say. Okay. So we've, like I said, done the cruise. We've been to Jamaica twice. We've been to the Dominican, Cancun, and like I said, now St. Lucia.
So what do you think is different with you and your kind of travel group amongst, you know, all the other groups now? Because now it's big now, these girls trips, right, these travel groups and all of these other things. And you know my story, because I was scammed once by a travel agent, but, you know.
It was scam?
Oh, man. But what do you think makes... sets you and your travel group apart from all of the other...
You know what? I don't know. I think for me, it's just complete authenticness. You know, I'm just an individual. It's not about me. It's about the travel, the fun of it. And I'm not a travel agent. You know, meaning we partner with an actual travel agent. And when you think about hundreds of people spending thousands of dollars, you know, it takes the right type of person. And so once I found somebody I was comfortable with, you know, for me, it was just all about an experience. And also, too, I don't want people to feel like they're being taken advantage of, meaning, you know, the price has to be right. It has to be something that, you know, benefits us. And then I do things along the way. We always plan something on the trip. My thing is, at least one night when we go out, I'm taking everybody out on me to somebody's nightclub. I don't care if 150 people show up, we're going to find a way to make it happen. And on a couple of these trips, 100 and some people definitely showed up. And, you know, we rented out some sections, popped a lot of bottles. And again, I'm not all about that, but I want people to be able to experience and experience. And it's not just feeling like someone's constantly taking from you and every single thing you do is costing you, you know, boatload of money. People work hard to get there. And they're rocking with it. They're supporting me. And so I want to give back as much as we can. We've given out free boat rides, but we had 2 big boats. And, you know, we're in the middle of the Caribbean doing karaoke, you know, and swag surfing and the whole nine. Just a lot of good fun. But I guess that's the difference. It's just authentic me. Anybody who really knows me, I just like to have a good time, show a lot of love. And just giving people the opportunity to travel together. So yeah, but I really salute and support the other travel group. I try my best. I want to go on some of these other trips and I'm learning just like everybody else. You know, we do a lot of international trips, but I would love to do some of that local stuff. I see I don't know if y'all seen the people doing like some of the ski trips and stuff like that. Definitely have piqued my interest. Have y'all? I know you've had some travel scares, but have you tried, Leon, any of the travel groups?
No, I haven't at all. I know a guy who does the same thing, but I haven't been on any yet.
Yeah, it was good. It's a different experience, and like I said, you know, it's a way to meet people. It's funny. A lot of my family go on these trips, and I have cousins in Philadelphia. And through these trips, I have a cousin now that has, when she comes to Durham, she don't need me anymore. She has her own set of friends, her own crew, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. You know, people are meeting each other. You know, I had some girls that met on a trip, didn't know each other prior to the trip. And the following trip, they were roommates. And so those are the things that, you know, I feel like we're doing something right and having a good time in the process. So
that's dope.
How do you advertise to get people in the group to go in?
Honestly, mainly just Facebook, word of mouth. Like I said, it's just me and, you know, the people around me. I don't have a team of people. I'm not a marketer. You know, we're not doing paid advertising. And so it's just our Facebook, the Takeover Travel Group. Okay. But we have people, man. We got a whole crew from Chicago, Texas. You know, a lot of people in North Carolina, obviously, Virginia, D.C., Philly, people from all over really, you know, coming in and participating. So it's taking off. And like I said, I never had a vision for it. It's not a business for me. It's just bringing good people together. And so I'm excited to see where it goes. I want to do, you know, I don't know if this is the right platform. I want to do an erotic trip, too. I don't know if y'all have heard of Temptations in Cancun. And so I want to plan a group trip for that as well. I don't know how that's going to go, but I'm curious, and I want to expand. You know, I want to try different things, you know. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe, maybe not.
I think it'll happen. I mean, why not? Why not? Do you think you would ever kind of expand and make it a business since you have the following now?
Well, you know, I don't do nothing for free, but, you know, it works out well. But, you know, it's as long as the pricing is where it's at and as long as it allows me to show some love back, we will go wherever this thing takes us. But I just want to see the world, to be honest. But we got a good I can't stress the importance of finding the right travel agent. Like, you know, we're working with our travel agent. Before you go on this trip, he's going to present you an app. And that personalized app has literally every bit of information from your flight to who's picking you up for transportation to your room information to every contact you could need, excursion options, how to book them, temperature updates. It even shows you a picture of what your room is supposed to look like so there's no discrepancies. I mean, he goes above and beyond. And, when you know, I laugh, but when you're dealing with hundreds of people who are sending you $50, $60, $100 at a time, I don't know how he does it, but I definitely hats off to him. It's a unique skill to have. But like I said, we've never had a problem in all this time, you know. And so I think that's the beauty about it. You know, you're not going to hear any disgruntled people, you know, Renata got scammed. And, you know, I hate to hear that, but so far, so good. We have not you know, called you from Nigeria, you know, trying to get you to send wire over some money.
I've never been like on a group travel, like group, like with people I don't know. You know what I mean? I think that's my hesitant because I told him, I was like, I want to do it, but I don't know. Like I'm hesitant because I've either traveled with friends, traveled with family, traveled by myself. I've never traveled with a group of strangers, so I don't know. But I, you know, when I follow him and they're overseas and he's going live, you know, it definitely looks like they're all having a good time. So I don't know, maybe I'll get the courage to make that jump and actually do it.
You gotta step out there. And like I said, it's for everybody. We have couples. We have people who have adult children. They're, you know, now vacationing together. You know, you have single folk, you have girls trips that have combined with this trip. You got fellas trips. You know, this year we got a group of RQs coming, you know, some fraternity brothers celebrating. They just decided to come hang out with the group as well. So like I said, a great mixture of people, man. It's definitely been a blessing. And for me, it's an impromptu way to keep my family together. You know, social media allows distant cousins to hang out. But when you can get 30, 40 family members from all over the U.S. to make it on one trip together internationally, is pretty dope as well. So,
now, when you first thought about doing this, the idea came to you. What did you look up? Did you know anything about it prior to, or you just thought about it and started looking?
Man, I knew absolutely nothing. Like I said, I would travel and I would see females doing what I was hating. I was completely hating on girls' trip. And I said, I could do this shit. But more importantly, men need to see what the hell is going on out here in these international waters. We spend too much time talking about passport bros and all that bullshit. We don't spend any time talking about the magnitude of some of these quote unquote girls trips. I think females have done an amazing job to coin these girls trips as spiritual and bonding experiences and sisterhood and all that. Yeah. And also it's fifths of tequila and, you know, lemon drops and all kind of stuff as well. So nah, but really, like I said, for me, it was that. And I just made a post kind of searching out travel agents and kind of went through that process. And I can't lie, my first experience was not the best experience, but that experience led me to Maurice, our travel agent today. So everything worked out. I have no complaints. And again, it kind of just started off as something to do and really turned into, you know, what it's become. So we'll see where we go.
Right.
Well, did you have another question?
No, go ahead.
Thinking about talking about bringing people together, you're really big as far as community and helping out and bringing awareness to Hillside High and some of all of the things that's going on and events and curating events and helping them out. How did that come about? Did you go to Hillside?
I went to Hillside. You know, if you're from Durham, Durham is a prideful place. It's one of the few black communities that still exist in the U.S. And when I say black communities, I'm not just talking about a whole bunch of poor people that they've kind of just put together. But, you know, Durham is full of success and black excellence. And I'm just playing my part. I'm a proud Hillside alumnus. You know, me and my homeboy were able to start what has now become the largest high school tailgate in North Carolina, where we just wanted to bring people together. And so we came up with the idea, you know, for classes that have reunions, they may come out and celebrate together before a homecoming game, very similar to HBCUs. But my thing was, we have such a long history. If you don't know about Hillside, it's predominantly black school that's been around over 100 years. So there's generational. And so we created a pre-homecoming tailgate. And so as soon as school gets out, we're out there with the grills, and you got people that graduated from the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s come together. And now it's thousands of people out there. We got DJs, food, everything is free. We feed the staff, we feed the kids. Anybody who pulls up is going to get a plate. Just a lot of love and true Durham fashion. We have a amazing after party to follow. But again, for me, it's just something that was a no-brainer. And, you know, I got a lot of support. Durham is again, it's not about me, man. We got some people who are diehard Hillside enthusiasts. And it's taking its own ways now. The school coordinates it. So it's not about me anymore. I'm just glad to be a part of it. And then as far as community, man, I believe in small black business. I believe in people kind of finding their way. And you have the social media platform. It costs me absolutely nothing to shout out black business. It costs me absolutely nothing to, you know, make people aware. You know, if my platform is a little bigger than others, you know, if I see something that's a great product or service and I can let the world know, why not? You know, again, it's not costing me anything. And I love people. I love to see people succeed. So I don't really consider myself all of those things that you call me, but I appreciate it. But, you know, I'm outside, you know, and, you know, people support me and what I do. And it's just a genuine love that I show back. But for me, it's what we all should be doing, to be honest. Like I said, you know, in the world that we live in, it costs you nothing to support people, and the support can happen in so many ways. And now it's easy, you know, resharing a post, getting under somebody's congratulations, keep doing your thing, keep pushing. Sometimes that's all it takes, you know.
100%. I think that's one of the things we talk about being, you know, on this podcast journey is small, but we're trying to expand and reach a broader audience. And that's why we bring the light to you, being big in the community and, you know, having a large platform, but not only bringing awareness to you and everything that you do, but also just ensuring that people who don't know you have the ability to have access to you through Impel Forward podcast. So
yeah, no doubt. I mean, the podcast is dope. I've definitely enjoyed watching it. I've had, you know, a few people who have sent me the link, like, you know, and then we get to talking about it. So you guys are definitely making an impact, but more importantly, it seems like y'all are having some fun as well. Oh, yeah. And that's what it's all about. Yeah, we need more of this. So salute to you guys.
Appreciate
Thank you. I do have a question. Now, those don't know, when I say he's a father, he has children. Both of you guys have teens. Have your kids started driving or taking the test, Jeremy?
Yes, I have 16-year-old twins who recently started driving. One twin is a little further along in the process, and I think the other twin is a little upset about it. But yes, we are driving now. They are working. They have jobs. So things are a little different this year when it comes to that aspect of parenting, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting used to this new stage that we're in.
Yeah. Are they at Hillside too?
No, my twins live in Knightdale, and so they're part of the Wake County school system. I actually go to two different schools. My daughter's in an early college school, and my son goes to East Wake. So and also that makes, you know, parenting a little different now. You know, now I have to get on their schedule. They have jobs and school activities. And so, you know, hopefully they can carve out some time for little old dad every blue moon. But things have definitely changed from how things were to, you know, me readjusting to them being young adults. That's definitely been a change that I didn't realize it was going to be such a change. But I welcome it. You know, I really encourage them to go out and, you know, be self-sufficient and do, you know. The problem with a lot of kids now, they just sitting around. And so I'm glad my kids are out here being active, but I have not adjusted to not seeing them as much. So y'all pray for me a little bit.
it's good to have a father around. Did you grow up with your father?
Well, yeah, my parents got married when I was 5. So I've always had a father figure in the house, great parental structure. So I was, you know, lucky in that regard. Yeah, my dad was awesome dad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's good.
Leon, how do you feel with your daughter driving?
I feel good. It's a good learning experience. You know, we can jump on the highway, drive any chance you get. She does, some days she does better, and some days you have her days. You got to remind her, look, you got to stop here. So she does. I think she scares her mama more than she scares me, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Both y'all be holding on to the thing?
Nah, I'll be cool. You know.
Yeah, actually, they're twins, and so I think they put me in the back seat one day, and so I had to feel like I was being chauffeured around for once. So I embraced it and kind of enjoyed it. So
yeah, overall, my daughter, she's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know. Back to fatherhood and the two young ones and doing all the things as far as with your children and going to games. I saw you were just recently. Were you recently at a game?
Yeah, we go to quite a few basketball games. So down to Charlotte, to the Hornets games. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. It's a business venture, you know, in regards to, you know, I love NBA, but that shit is costly. And so, you know, I devised a way for us to take advantage and get all the perks of being NBA season ticket holders, but also make it financially work. And so it's good. I enjoy it, but it's given me opportunity to bring a lot of friends and family to experience the NBA in a way that they haven't before. You know, the kids get to meet the players and get autographs. And, you know, we've got a lot of great perks since we've been members of the Charlotte Hornets, you know. So I enjoy it. But more importantly, if I couldn't make my money back every year, we wouldn't be doing it. So things have worked out pretty good.
Have you thought about doing a raffle?
I've done a raffle. Yeah, I would definitely be open to it. Like I said, it's a great experience. We have some great seats. And I think, you know, we all need to do it. Charlotte is such a vibe. You know, basketball, in my opinion, is so much different than football. You know, it's a true vibe. They definitely cater to the culture down in Charlotte for the Hornets. And, you know, it's a great date night, great bringing your kids out, you know, bringing your friends and just hanging out, getting some drinks and enjoying basketball. So we enjoy it a lot. But with the kids' scheduling and stuff, there's only so many games we can get to. So when we do go, you know, we definitely take full advantage.
That's pretty cool.
Working your everyday job and doing the travel group, does that keep you pretty busy, or does it balance out?
Well, you know, to be honest, man, I am a co-parent, and so, you know, when the kids are with the mom, you know, you have a lot more free time to do whatever. But for me, I'm a multitasker at its finest. You know, I'm one of those people that believe you got to have 6-7 different ways to get it. If I get a little bit from here, a little bit from there, a little bit from there, you know, that's my comfort zone. So I'm constantly doing something. You know, we do the travel, we do the season tickets, we throw, you know, a few parties here and there. Me and my buddies own an icy business. I haven't had a chance, to be honest, in last season or so to really get out there. Just don't have the time. But, you know, we try to leverage a lot of different ways to make money, but also to, you know, kids play baseball, basketball. So it's important that, you know, I'm there for those things as well. So every day is something. I'm getting old now. If I don't put it in my calendar, it ain't gonna happen. And so,
right. Now, let everybody know what your day job is.
I work in corporate America. I do customer care, so I manage the customer care team for North America, one of the leading computer companies, and we're based out of the RTP area. I've been there for 15 years, and so, like I said, I call us the last line of defense when it comes to customer service. So if you're extremely pissed off and you're threatening to sue somebody, or you got to run around and you want to speak to the manager, I don't have anybody that we can transfer those calls to. So we got to find a way to get you off the phone and satisfied. So it's a pretty cool job. I've been doing it for a while. You know, I enjoy it, but it also leaves me the, you know, time to, we call it work-life balance. You know, I have the time to still be a father. That's the one thing I really love about my job. You know, it's a room for me to grow. You know, I started at my job when I was at a different place in life. And, you know, it was the only job I really had an interview for. That's a whole different story. But, you know, Lenovo gave me an opportunity when I didn't have opportunity. And I've just grown with them. And so I can't really thank my job enough. But again, I'm in a position now where it's just all about work-life balance. You know, when you got kids in school, I mean, you know, it's important to be able to show up. And, you know, they definitely allow us to do that. But also I have some great employees, and I'm all about developing and seeing them grow as well. And so that's pretty cool, you know, to see people come in and, you know, they build their own self up. And next thing you know, they come from employees to colleagues to, you know, sometimes, you know, I have somebody that used to work for me. Now, you know, I've worked for them. And so that's the beauty about what I do. Great company, great atmosphere. And I wish more of us would dive into that. I know we're in such a world now where it's all about entrepreneurship and kind of getting your own. But there are some definite benefits with working in that corporate structure.
Oh, yeah.
But it also puts you in a position to, you know, meet, grow, and diversify yourself. So, you know, I really love what I do. But like I said, I love the freedom that it gives me as well.
Now, you said something that kind of stuck with me. At a spot in your life. Was it a rough spot in your life? that you before you started working there? Or?
I mean, to be honest, for me, I feel like I lived a completely different life at one particular time. You know, just making a lot of bad decisions at the time. They didn't feel bad, but you know, for a while, you know, when you graduate high school, everybody kind of goes off and does their thing. And so I went to college for all these years. And when I came home from college, none of the college friends were around. And so, you know, I learned other aspects of life. And so for a lot of years, just, you know, to be honest, I, you know, dibbled and dabbled in drugs and not working and things of that nature, kind of living that street life. And it was sufficient for quite a few years. And I was put in a position where that just wasn't feasible anymore. I guess God kind of slowed me down, but I guess at the right time, you know, I was in an altercation where I was stabbed. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I had to really get myself together. It was funny, you know, when I went on the interview for my job, I still was walking with a limp from previous experience, but I could say it was a complete transition. And it allowed me to grow up and, you know, prove myself in other areas. But also, you know, that other life teaches you a lot of lessons as well. I'm not condoning it by any means, but, you know, I think a lot of aspects of who you are, you know, you can learn from and grow from. So, you know, it's a different time in my life, you know, but I'm blessed to kind of be where I'm at now. But it won't always like this. And so, you know, it's good to look back on things and not be in the same place you once were. But, you know, things definitely have changed for me. But it took me, you know, some tragedy to happen for me to slow down and really have the opportunity to give myself a chance to do better, you know. And I think some people don't get that. You get so caught up in doing what you're doing and it's working for you. So you think that you don't necessarily look at other options, or, you know, you become content. And not just in that, but even in career, you know, I talk to a lot of my employees and I really push the whole idea of not being content. You're doing okay, but how can you be the best person? Like, how can you ensure that nobody else outworks you? How can you ensure that you're doing what you need to do to go for yours? You know, if this is not what you want as far as money and financial, how do you get better? And so what I realized is the same drive and conversations I had in another life are some of the same similar conversations, you know, I'm having in, you know, my current. And so it's, you know, life is funny, but I definitely don't regret certain things, but I'm definitely made a lot of dumbass decisions to get where I'm at. I guess I'm a lucky fool, but I appreciate it all the same.
Yeah. Would you say the same, Leon?
Oh yeah, we've all had that experience. I don't know if you know, I did time in prison 7.5 years. So.
Oh wow, okay.
I know definitely what you're talking about. And sometimes, you know, like you said, being in the streets, you learn different things. And if you take a step for that change and it transfers over to things that you may have learned, certain things in the streets that you can take to corporate, and you learn right. different things. And you hear a lot of people talking about that. Well, a drug dealer. That matter of fact, we had who was that? Gina. You know, she talked about how she makes soap now, and she learned that from being in, you know, dealing with drugs in the drug house. You know, but she has her own business now, and she says she learned a lot of that from doing that. And we're not condoning it, but, you know.
Not at all. But like my mother said, and it didn't really dawn on me until you're into the world. Because my mother's always been a corporate woman, you know, my parents, both of my parents. But she would always say, you got to know the game you're playing and how to play it.
Right.
Mm. And the first day I walked through those doors, that's what I thought about. Meaning prior to the whole idea of, oh, I got this job, I'm so excited, they offered me this. And at the time, you know, the money they offered me, I was thankful for. You know, I was excited about it. And, you know, I've grown a lot. But literally, as soon as I walked through the front door and looked around, I realized the money they paying me won't shit. And there was a game that was needed to be played. And I would have to learn how to play it. And so it began. And so for me, it was the same mission. I'm not going to let you outwork me, and I'm going to play the game. Meaning there's a certain structure and way that things should work. And I think a lot of people have a problem fitting into or conforming to the way structure should be. You know, people are so sometimes stuck on being such the individual that they stop playing the game.
Right.
You know. But like you said, I think there's definite similarities, and you know, you learn a lot from all aspects in life.
Right. And like you say, you was a lucky one. I was a lucky, I guess, a lot, you know. I did some things out there, and I could have been dead, or I could have did some worse to still be locked up. But God saw fit to have me here now. So, you know, it's a learning lesson.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely learning lessons. Yes, 100%, man. Like I said, you go through it. And again, like I said, we're not condoning it, but, you know, you understand, you know. And then also you see the struggles that people go through, man. Right. And also that's why I'm big on community. Like, wins happen all over. It's not just the rich people winning, man. Some people, you know, just securing that $15-$18 an hour job because you ain't never had a job before, but you know you're 35 years old. Like, that's a win.
Yeah.
Or the fact that you've been sober for 6 months. You know, it's a win. And so I want to celebrate people where they're at, because like I said, everybody's plot is different. But more importantly, what I show people is, you know, finances and success doesn't equal to happiness.
Yeah.
There's a lot of broke, wealthy people. You know what I mean? You got, you know, some very successful couples who put all their eggs into a wedding, a house, a couple cars and furniture. And now they sitting in that nice ass house, miserable as hell. So like I said, there's balance to what everything that we do. But I'm all about celebrating wins wherever you are in life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's always good. So, question for you. What's next for the Takeover Travel Group? Now, I know you said the erotic thing you want to set up. Got it.
Well, I want to grow the group. I want to do more trips during the year. Right now, we do one main trip. And we do like a tailgate with the Panthers. But I want to do some. I want to go to New Orleans. I want to try some mountain stuff. I would love to rent out like a 20, 30 bedroom mansion, you know, and see, you know, how that works out. But I'm just all about expanding and kind of going with the group, taking suggestions, seeing where people want to go. But just having some fun with it. I don't really have any concrete plans. I just want to make sure that, you know, whatever we do, it's something that's going to elevate and push the group. But nothing planned. Right now, we're trying to figure out what that next trip is going to be. And so stay tuned for that. That's exciting to kind of figure out, bouncing ideas off. You know, going to the Jamaica Sunfest last year and now going to Carnival. It's like, how do you top those type trips? And so just get creative and find it. You know, the world's a big place, and so I want to take advantage and see. So any suggestions, let me know. Like I said, we're open for figuring it out.
What's your you have a separate Facebook page for the Carnival group and yours?
Takeover Travel Group. Yeah.
Takeover Travel Group.
Go ahead and get up on there.
Yeah, we can add the link.
We'll put them in the description too.
Yep, in the description. So you might get a couple new people added. And
nice. Now, what about y'all? What's next for the podcast?
Well, we're still trying to we're trying to grow it. Been going on for I think 2 years now. And
I just joined a couple months ago, but we have a good lineup of people coming up. It's so crazy because you know how we talked about you being the Facebook doctor. I've gotten so many requests about, you know, you should have the girls chat. Then I got, you know, Leon owns a barbershop, right? So he has two. He has, you know, one where he works out of, and then he has another one where, you know, it's guys and gals. But then the guys want the barbershop talk. And then just random people on the street that kind of you know, bumped into the podcast and people who came on as guests, they're like, oh, you need a girls chat, or oh, you need a guy chat. Or, what do we get, girls versus guys?
We're trying to grow and do some things and think of some different things. We're going to try to take it to another level. So
People love the conversation. And, you know, what I'm realizing with these podcasts is really opening the doors to have, you know, deeper conversations with the people around you, you know. You know, listening to you guys and stuff is really forcing me to go have similar conversations with, you know, friends and family. And I think we need more of that. So, yeah, I'm excited for y'all.
We encourage that. Like, we try to, I think we have a good mix of people within the community that are doing things and, you know, offer services and businesses and actually help.
Right. Just
like, you know, last week we had Dion and, you know, she's at self-help. So she was talking about, you know, loans for small Black businesses and being in the community. So I think I'm thinking Leon is on the same page, is that the podcast will be a mix of, you know, a little bit of everything, but also our service to the community and our people.
Mm-hmm. Dope. Yeah. I think, like I said, that's dope and people need it. And that's the one thing that I realized about platforms like this. There's so many people watching who may never comment, or you never knew were paying attention. But, you know, these are the conversations that need to be had. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we're thankful. Every single guest we got, we got some good guests coming up that that having people on the podcast was like, hey, why don't you, I'll ask this person for you. And, you know, they'll come on.
Hey, don't let them sit up there and bullshit. That's the only thing. Don't let them sell you no bullshit. You got to keep them honest. You got to poke holes in their cheese just to make sure. Because people will shoot you the shit, especially in that girls talk. Make sure you poke holes through the girls talk.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We might have you back as a moderator, but I seen, you know, we're friends. So I know how you add a little spicy little devil's advocate with an extra little, you know, side of spice to it.
Just the right. Yeah, I can't wait from that girl chat though. I don't want nobody talking bad about me, hurt my little feelings. So now I will let y'all handle that one. I will be an active listener.
Yeah, yeah. I try to style those conversations.
Yeah, sir.
I might say something stupid.
Right. You get to call me fat and then my feelings hurt, and then, you know, conversation over.
Yeah.
We won't do that. But we really appreciate you joining in, and, you know, impromptu. I know it was really fast. And so, you know, taking time out your day, doing your father things and all of those things to join us today. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, no doubt. This was dope. I really appreciate the invite. You guys keep it up.
I appreciate it. You on IG too?
I'm on IG. Hard work paying me. I'm not on IG as much. It's hard for me to do both. I guess I'm getting old. But yeah, I'm on IG.
That's cool. We stick to Facebook. I'm just making sure trying to hit you on all avenues, so we're good.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. But again, thank you guys.
I appreciate you. And there you have it for another episode of the Impel Forward podcast.
Yay. Thank you.